All right, I started the recording.
Okay, good. So this is part two of our July the 9th. We've just transmitted the 90 Ancient Templates of Wisdom, and I had just asked Analia about her, Analia's still with us on the call, and I wanted her to share her impressions. So go ahead, Analia. I'm sorry I interrupted you.
You can hear me, yes?
Yes.
Oh, very good. Yeah, I was able to see them come through. They were just amazing, beautiful, beautiful structures. And it just felt like they belong to this existence, you know, the planet, but also the galaxy. Mm. It was just amazing, amazing. Speechless, yes. Silence. Beautiful.
Yeah.
Very powerful.
Yeah, that's my impression. They're just so exquisite. Each one of them is so different, and it like snowflakes, these delicate snowflakes that are lit up.
Yes, that's right, like snowflakes. But the colors, it's like very difficult to describe because they're not really color, you know? It's just... Yeah, it's beautiful.
Mm. Yeah, I think that these, as I said on that earlier call on the 30th of April, I feel as though, in fact, we talked a little bit about this, Analia, is that, remember I was telling you that there were so many beings that were upset, that wanted this, you know, genetic information, this coding, and it felt like to me there were many beings from around the universe that contributed and maybe have lost. I think it was you that mentioned that they had lost the purity of the genetic information that they had contributed and wanted it to take back to their planet. Could you elaborate on that? Do you remember?
I remember some of the conversation, and because when we talk about DNA, of course, DNA is multidimensional. What we see on the planet is just one tiny little bit of what it is. And it does contain the information to create reality as well as life and their experience. And the conversation that we had was about how the planet at the moment was being harvested for genetic material, and because it's multidimensional, it was from other time spaces, other spaces on the universe of beings coming here to get some of the information at its purest level, because they had somehow they had corrupted it, I don't know how. And they needed the raw material, as it were.
Mm.
Yeah. And, yeah, it does feel that this is part of that activation. People talk about the DNA activation and what it means and what can we do with it. I think this is an integral part of it. These templates are that activation, don't you think?
Mm. Yeah, I think it has something to do with it. My sense, and, you know, Elizabeth knows a lot about anthropology, so when we first talked about it, our feeling was that it was perhaps the first cell was put here on planet Earth, and had it been allowed to grow and evolve and change in its own accord, it would have been the full manifestation, the full-blown manifestation of bringing all of this wisdom online. And, of course, that was manipulated and challenged and held back from humanity at different stages. So it just feels like it's the gives us access to that original template again.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, I can see it. I can see that. Well, thank you, Lucia, for doing this. It's just mind-blowing.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's funny. I don't use them at all. I'm not curious about them. I have to depend on other people to tell me what their experiences are, because, I don't know, I guess I was the one to go out and get them and transmit them, but they're really not, it's not that they're not interesting to me. I think they're very interesting. I suppose when I start to write my sequel, if I could call up one to help me do that, then I'm going to get more interested.
Yes. You're a conduit.
Yeah, definitely, yeah.
So,
really beautiful.
Good. So, let's see. I don't know. I guess we've been on for a long time. Perhaps we should close it down at this point, unless there are any burning questions about the templates, right? Not so much, well, I don't know, if you had a quick observation, but we don't want to keep people too long. We've already been on 2 hours. So is there anybody that just has a burning question that can't wait about the templates or the experience or how to use them or how to transmit them? Yeah, because that's what I encourage people to do, is to wait for them to come online 3 weeks and then just to begin to experiment with transmitting them to others.
We have three people who raised their hands. Four, actually.
Okay.
The first one, it looks like an international call.
Hi, Lucia. It's Kim again.
Hi there.
Hi. I was lying down as you were doing that, and when it got to the solar plexus one, the third one, my phone cut out. And by the time I dialed back in, you'd just finished doing the big number 9. Was it 90, the big one?
Mm.
Yeah. So would it still have come in, even though I was cut off during that time?
Probably. But could you feel the lower one? Yeah. Could you feel the power chakra one as it came in?
No, and it's really interesting because that is one of my big issues. It's
okay,
around.
Okay, well,
know,
here. I'm just going to give it to you again very quickly, yeah?
Oh, okay.
Okay. So here it comes. Okay. There it is, right? And now the last one is the master template. There it is. So it went right into the heart, yeah?
Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
I appreciate that.
Okay, no problem.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Okay. And our second person's from Santa Rosa, California.
Hi.
Hello.
It's Lucia again. Hi. Lucia, I'm brand new to your work. This is my first initiation. So I understand. I just want to be clear. I should listen to a call that's already on your website, you said, the April 30th call, to find out more about the templates. And then I should wait 3 weeks. And then how do I get the last four? Because you said not to be on the call next weekend, correct?
That's right, yeah. So if you just go to my website, which is unpluggedfromthepatriarchy.com, and you look at archives on the menu, and scroll down to find April 30th. Listen to that call, which will give you a lot of background about the templates and how to meditate on them now. Yeah. Then wait 3 weeks, and we'll have another call in August to disseminate the last four. If you want the last four, you could be on that August call. Yeah. But you need to wait 3 weeks for these 90 to fully integrate in your awareness field.
Okay. And you have an email list and everything, I'm assuming.
Yeah, if you can go onto my website and sign up for the newsletter.
All right, thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay, our third caller is from Encinita, California.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, is this, I'm on, okay. My friend and I were recently in New Mexico during the fires, and I've been to the caldera before, and it's beautiful. And I'm wondering if the fire that sort of kind of burned a lot of the caldera, do you think that has anything to do with the templates?
Do I
know
think
you
it hurt
about,
them?
No, I think it was deliberate. Like there was some malintention involved. Because if people are or forces are aligned to disrupt your work, could they have intentionally started a fire in the caldera to slow down the dissemination of the templates?
Well, I think it would be a really pedestrian way to do it. I mean, if they wanted to interfere with the templates in the caldera, they would do it inwardly. They would do it in the astral planes. And that has happened because I got them and I helped to facilitate ferrying them across back in 2005. And then I probably went back once a year to check on them. And a couple of times there was interference. One time I went and it was really the global elite who had tried to kind of cap off the caldera, seal it up, and so that no one could access what was there. And I just meditated on it and cleared it. So I don't think anything much could happen at this point to interfere with it because the damage is done. They've already been released into the collective, the damage from their vantage point at any rate. So we don't even need the caldera anymore. The caldera is useful because there are all kinds of other structures out there, including the templates. The templates were a fairly new addition. When I was sitting out there meditating, I was just sitting in awe for the last 10 or 15 minutes looking around on the inner planes and going, my God, look at these. They look like Atlantean crystal buildings or something. There's huge structures there. And again, I have no idea. Just like for years I had no idea what the templates were for, I have no idea what those big structures are for. And maybe they're for somebody else, you know, to access and work with. Maybe it's just not my job. And we get given information on a need-to-know basis. So, but I don't sense that the fire had anything to do with the templates, really, because it was something that happened on the physical.
Okay, thank you. And by the way, I'm very grateful for the templates. Thank you for all the work you do.
You're very welcome. My pleasure.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Okay, we have a lot more other. There ended up being 9 people. So 8 now. And there's someone from Santa Fe, New Mexico.
Okay.
Hi, this is Janine.
Hi, Janine.
Hi. In fact, I'm looking at the smoke from the conscious fire right now, and I want to assure you that the caldera has been protected. It has been set up with protection from that fire, synchronistically. What I wanted to ask you is, having just received these templates, and having had some other spiritual teaching that leads me to believe that humanity is destined to become one consciousness in a full integration of each of us.
Mm-hmm.
Do the templates have any role to play in that, perhaps?
Oh, yeah. I thought for a while that master template that was sitting out there, I could see them sitting out there, but for years I didn't know what to do with them. I hadn't been given any directive. And I thought that it was the template for the one, what I call the one heart, one mind. But it's really not. It's different. The one heart, one mind came online, I mean, in my estimation, my seeing, I don't know, a year and a half ago, and we're already accessing that. That's different. It's a global construct, a global structure that is just a network of light that I think has always been there. It just became so activated that now we can see it and access it and play with it and utilize it for moving into that one mind. But these are different. These are really about universality within the personal embodiment. All of the knowledge, I think, that's necessary in order to do that in a completely robust way, right? To integrate 24/7 unbounded universal mind while in a human embodiment. It's just the wisdom to be able to do that, the consciousness, the various aspects of consciousness. And they were literally encoded into structures that could be held and moved from place to place on the earth and, you know, put in safekeeping and now released and disseminated. But the beauty of them now is that they are going into the collective. Excuse me. And so whenever I give them, people often come up to me afterwards and report, oh, I already knew that. I already knew there was a space in my heart and I was waiting for something. And now the divine spark came in and I know that's what I was waiting for. So that indicates to me that they're being absorbed into the collective, which is very good news, because my theory is that this could be a kind of 100th monkey effect. You know, when the 100th monkey knows how to wash the fruit in the stream, then all monkeys on the planet know how to wash the fruit in the stream. So if we can give these out to enough people, that's why I was so excited, actually, to have Analia on the call, because her mailing list is bigger than mine. And it was a very personal agenda of mine to give these away to as many people as possible, because that means we can create an enormous shift, I feel, in the collective.
Thank you. The sky wept, by the way. I'm outside, and the sky has a few clouds in it, but basically it's very clear, and there were droplets coming down.
Yeah, there was tremendous grace in this transmission. I think it's because there were so many people receiving them, and usually those three larger templates with the heart, the wisdom chakras, and the power chakras go more quickly, but I really felt it was necessary. It resonated over the entire planet when it went out to, you know, hundreds of people and lodged in the core of their being, and it just took a little more time to integrate. So there was just the feeling, at least from my side, of tremendous grace in this particular transmission. Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you both for what you do and for your gifts.
Mm.
Thank
yeah.
you very much. Bye.
Okay. I have a caller from Denver, Colorado.
Hello.
Hi there.
I believe it's probably me. My name is Dina, and I was called by a very darling friend of mine and told me to listen to this phone call, and I have just loved it. But I'm sorry I got on there just a few minutes, right at 5 minutes maybe, after you started, and I didn't have a clue of what you were saying as far as some of the things, but most of the things I understood. I want to know, I just heard you're unplugged from the patriarchy.com, your website. And do you have DVDs or CDs or anything that a person can
buy? Yeah, if you get onto the website, there are a tremendous number of free archived calls that you can begin with. So you just go to unplugfromthepatriarchy.com. And go to the archives. And then if you want to know all of the things that you can buy, there are DVDs, CDs, different work-study courses. Those are all listed on the store. They're kind of peppered throughout the website. But if you go to the store, then there's a good list. And also, Analia's website has wonderful tools on it, and that's ascension101.com. Is that right, Analia, I think?
Yes, that's right, ascension101.com.
Yeah.
All right. Do you people have you written books?
Yeah, we've written books. They're on the website.
Okay, good. Well, thank you. I just thought you were wonderful. Are wonderful. And just
you're welcome. Happy to have you.
A
on
real
the
blessing. Thank you for blessing the earth. Probably the cosmos.
Okay, we have someone from Greenfield, I think it's in Massachusetts.
Yes, it's Massachusetts. Hi. Well, my name is Heidi, and can you hear me okay?
Yes, I can hear you, Heidi.
Okay, great. My voice might crack a little bit with my gratitude for your choices and for both of your modeling the direction that I so want to go in. And anyway, I have a question that I think Analia said something that might be the answer, and I just wanted to check. At times when I'm processing things from a trauma history, I feel like I have more pain than I can bear. And she said something to somebody else about talking to your higher self and asking for things in bite-sized pieces. Would that be what you suggest? And then also, there's things that I have that are confusion, and I almost want to apologize that I'm bringing this up, but I'm so inspired, and I so want to take my place in doing whatever my dharma is, that I'm going to dare err on asking if there's mistakes that I've made, what your suggestions are about clearing karma, or sometimes with my memories I'm not clear as to if they happened or not, and so I have fear of having spoken untruthfully. Anyway, I'll stop there, and I'm sure your intuition and your guidance will tell me exactly what I need to hear.
Well, I'll just speak to the last question, and then I'll let Analia address the first part of it. My sense is that there are no mistakes, that it's a personal, the personal self only is concerned about making mistakes. And really, the personal self wouldn't be concerned about doing the right thing, right, unless it was the universal self embodied in personal embodiment, right? We are the universal self, and the universal self never makes a mistake. It just has learning experiences. It grows, it evolves. So when we do something that really it's not a mistake, it's not bad, there's no value judgment being placed on it. It's just that it vibrates in such a way that it causes your state of attention to drop, right? So if you do things that are dharmic, if you concentrate on purity, humility, doing right action, you know, this is sort of Buddhist terminology, but those things vibrate in a very life-supporting way. They take your consciousness up into more expanded states of being. And when we do something like we lie or we get angry and project anger at somebody else, right, instead of just feeling the anger within ourselves and processing it, then that has a very jangled, volatile vibration. And if we focus on that, it just simply brings the overall vibration of consciousness down. We spiral down in consciousness and have to work our way back up. But such is the nature of human existence. If we didn't spiral down, we wouldn't know that there was a more peaceful, stable, expanded place that we want to get. So really the suffering has a point. It brings us back to the light. So I would change my terminology, right, from mistake to experience, and just have a little more open-minded view about it, a little more relaxed view about your life and your experiences. You're doing the right thing. You're in the right place at the right time, right? Yeah, everything is fine. And Analia, I'll let you speak to the pain issue.
Yes, with regards to trauma, it's very important to find out if it's a physical trauma or a being trauma. Because once we can see which one it is, we can actually help. For example, if it's a physical trauma, we can see and actually support the body in processing it. And sometimes it could be from this lifetime, or sometimes it could be from the body's previous lifetime, which not necessarily means it's our own as a being's previous lifetime. And once we find out where the trauma is coming from, we are more able to process it in a more effective way. And yes, we can at any time when things become too overwhelming, we can say, yeah, we want to do baby steps or smaller pieces of this to be processed at any time. That's our choice. We have free will here. We're doing the work and we have a choice. And also, like I said before, do take time to enjoy life. Smell the roses, do stuff that your body enjoys, do stuff that you enjoy, and take it smaller pieces when it becomes too much. Yeah, that would be my advice there.
Thank you. And so is it okay to ask, if I heard you right, if you're dealing with a trauma that isn't just a body trauma, there's
mm-hmm.
other things that you can do to support processing that, and so it's important to understand if I'm just dealing with this lifetime or other lifetime stuff?
There's no need to, once we know, for example, that it doesn't necessarily have to be this lifetime, but the trauma is there,
yeah.
whether it's ours, whether it's the collective trauma, whether it's our body trauma, we identify that it's there, and then we can process it. Because
okay.
at the end of the day, it doesn't really matter where it came from. If it's something that's affecting us, it means we have the power to respond to it.
It does. We do. No matter how overwhelming, we do have
right.
it.
Right. Right.
Okay. I'll just need to practice believing that. Okay. But thank you for being a living example that it's true. When I'm just being on the line with you both, I believe it more. So thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Good. We should
probably
wrap it up.
You guys have time?
I think we're going to wrap it up. It's been 2.5 hours,
okay.
and I'm getting a little bit hungry, and I have other calls today. So, Anelia, I just want to thank you so much for being on. It's been a real pleasure. I hope we can do it again in the future.
Oh, absolutely. Thank you for the invitation.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's
so
beautiful.
Good.
Beautiful.
Yeah. So we'll open the lines up, Elizabeth, and say our formal goodbyes. Yeah.
Aloha.
Bye.
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 Bye.